Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, today, not only is it Mother's Day, but for those that are brand new, this is your first time, which welcome. We're so glad you're here. We actually are ending a series, a three-week series we've been in called As It Is in Heaven. And so if you got a Bible or a copy of the scriptures with you, reach for it. And turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. And if you'd like to take notes in church, you can write down my title right from the beginning. Here's the title, Citizens of Heaven. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning, Citizens of Heaven. But Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. And for those that are brand new, and as you're maybe turning there, really what we've been talking about in this series is how do we stay heavenly minded, but at the same time still do some earthly good. Like how do we live in such a way where we bring a little heaven down to earth and we see God do something incredible in us and through us? Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Now, to give you some quick context, the Apostle Paul, he wrote most of the New Testament, kind of the second half of the Bible, or really the last third of the Bible. And Paul, the apostle, he planted churches, he started churches, he oversaw a lot of churches, he did incredible things for God. In Ephesians, he's writing to one of those churches, and it was good stuff for the Ephesians, but it's also good stuff for us, Christ's covenant, in our day and age. And really, this is a prayer that he has for the church. But Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, it says this, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love," that sounds like a mom right there, "rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love," to know it, "this love that surpasses knowledge, all understanding, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him," this is where the Bible starts to preach real loud and proud, "to him who is able," somebody shout, "God's able." Like he's able. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what the struggle is in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your singleness, at your job. The list could go on and on, couldn't it? I don't know whatever the issue is, but our God is able. "To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church." Y'all know I love that. We should give God glory. This is his house, isn't it? It ain't your house. It ain't my house. This is Jesus' house. "To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." You know the Bible is saying something so good when the Bible amens itself, right? Like, glory in the church, glory according, like Christ, like forever and ever, amen. And so we're going to learn a lot today, and we're going to grow together before you get to brunch, okay? So we're going to accomplish a lot over the next few moments. But would you first bow your heads with me? I want to pray over this message, but also over all the ladies in this house in different seasons. Lord, we love you so much and so grateful for all the ladies, young and old, those that are just getting started in parenting, those that maybe not biological parents, but spiritual moms represented. God, I also pray right now, and this is where my heart really went last night and even this morning. I pray for those underneath down in my voice that Mother's Day is a tough day for them, and we got all the hype and all the glamour, and everybody's posting on social media, everybody's dressing up a little bit more, and all that's great, but I know there's some ladies in this house that they're hurting this Mother's Day, and it's not talked about a lot, it's not preached about a lot, not even prayed for a lot, but God, I lift them up to you right now, and maybe they're hurting for different reasons. Maybe it's because they lost their mom in the last few years. Maybe it's because their mom was not the greatest representation of your love to them, and maybe there was abuse or struggle at the hands of their mother. God, I know there's ladies in this house, there's married couples that they're believing for a miracle baby, and they've been struggling with infertility. And so today is hard. It was the lack that they feel on the inside. I know there's others, God, underneath the sound of my voice, that there's mom guilt represented. We see all the different posts on social media, all the different highlight reels from other moms and other families, and we feel inadequate as we compare ourselves. And so I just pray, God, especially for those that are hurting this morning, I pray, God, that they would feel your warmth and your loving embrace even now. I pray, God, that they would know that they're doing better than they think they're doing. I pray, God, that you would encourage them and help them to see just a glimpse of how you see them, that, God, there is greatness on the inside of them now, not just later, and that, God, you're going to continue to do a deep and mighty work in them. And, God, we also pray for this message, a very familiar passage for those of us that have been in church for a while. And I just pray, God, that even though it's familiar, that, God, we would lean into it, that we would apply the Bible to our lives in this beautiful, epic, powerful, moving prayer from the Apostle Paul for the church there in Ephesus. I pray, God, that it would touch our hearts today and that we would get exactly what we need out of this prayer. And even more than that, God, that again, we would apply it to our Monday morning world. We love you, Jesus, and we lift all of these things up to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Amen. I love that even on Mother's Day, a day where we got all these agendas and all this stuff we got to do, that we can just still spend some time together in God's house and having God do a deep work in our hearts and our lives. I love that. You know, I was talking to one of our three kids here recently about Mother's Day. And dads, you know, like you got to get your kids ready for Mother's Day. You got to make sure you don't drop the ball. And so I was talking to them about how important the day is and that we want to honor their mom, my wife, Isabel, and what that looks like. And hey, we're going to celebrate mom. We're going to take a little bit easier on mom because moms never get a day off. Can I get an amen from the ladies in the house? You know, even Mother's Day, you're still working, you're still doing things. And so I was giving them kind of that pep talk, and that conversation quickly was followed by this question. Won't say which one of my kids, but this question soon came after, and here's the question. Well, why isn't there a kids' day? And I told them what you just heard some mumble out loud underneath the sound of their voice. I said, every day is kids' day. Plus, you get extra days, you know? You get extra things, and go clean your room. You know, that's just kind of how I handled it. But literally, that's kind of what it is, right? As a parent, and we got so many parents here in this service, and of course, there'll be a lot of parents in the next service, but that's what your life is as a parent, right? Like, you're there to disciple and to bless your kids and to take care of them, and not just on special occasions, right? Like every day, we and every parent, the best of us in the room and the worst of us, we still have something on the inside of us that we want to bless our kids. We want to take care of our kids. And again, this plays out every day. Like, for example, like in our house, and your house is probably similar, unless you maybe have teenagers, but like in our house, our kids, like, they can go in the pantry and go in the fridge anytime that they want. Now, if you got teenagers, you probably had to put some limits on that, right? Because you're like, I don't want to have to get a second or a third job to pay for all this food. Food ain't cheap. But for our kids, they're young enough still that they have access to anything, that they don't have to ask permission to go get some food. That they don't have to ask myself or my wife permission to get some water from the refrigerator. Y'all see what I'm saying? Like all the gifts we've bought them and all the toys they can play with, they don't have to ask mom and dad, can I play with the toy you bought me? Like, they don't have to do that. Like, to get ready for bed, to put on their pajamas, to use the restroom. It ain't like school. Excuse me, you know, Mr. Dad, can I go use the restroom? Just go, right? Like, they have access, check this out, to everything that is mine now, but also in the future. I'm talking inheritance. They have access as much. They didn't work for it. Come on, parents, can I get an amen in the house? They ain't working for it. I know they make their minimum wage, right? Like, but they ain't working for it. They ain't paying the bills. They ain't paying for that water. They ain't paying for those clothes or those toys or anything like that. Like, they didn't do anything to earn it, yet because they're my kids and because I love them, they have access to everything that I have now and also in the future. And I love this prayer from the Apostle Paul at Ephesians 3 because he lets us know as believers and followers of Jesus, number one, that as his kids, you have rights. Like, you got access, friend. You just need to know that. Now, if you're not a believer, you're not a follower, like, I hope that will change at the end of the service, and then you'll get those rights. But I know there's many here in this service, in the room, and online, that you are a believer, a follower, a disciple of Jesus. Not just, hey, I go to Christ's Covenant, so I'm good. But you actually have a real relationship with Jesus. And if you have a real relationship, you have rights. You have access to things now, but also an inheritance in the future. You have privileges. You get access to so much that God has for you. And if you close the Bible, open it back up, because y'all know we do Bible study around here every single week. And in Ephesians 3, Paul just goes on and on in this prayer, letting disciples of Jesus know, you and me, like what we have rights to, what we have access to. And the first thing he says is that you and I, if we are following Jesus, God's name is on us. Like, his name is on you. I know you got your last name, and that's great, but the greater name, the banner, the name that all of us of believers, followers of Jesus are under is the name of Jesus. And not only that, not only is God's name on you, but what's so cool about this, and this is what the Apostle Paul prays at the beginning of that passage, not only that, is like when you follow Jesus, your family gets real big, real quick. Like, real big, real quick. What's he say? That when you're rolling with Jesus, you join a fraternity. I added them both together. Fraternity and a sorority. That's awesome. I love that. That's a new word. Put that in the dictionary. Anyways. So good. But you join a fraternity and a sorority of believers all around. There's a heavenly name on you. That's why back in the day, we used to call each other brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, which, by the way, I don't want to bring that back, okay? So don't start that here. But that's why. That was the heart. That you cannot even know somebody at all, but if they know Jesus like you know Jesus, you are now family. We are fam. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how it is. And so that's a great right. That's something you have access to, that even if you grew up as the only child, even if you've got family that lives all around the globe and no one is close to you at all, you still have a church family, brothers and sisters in Christ, united in Jesus Christ, that you can know have your back and also you can have their back. That's a right that you have as a believer and a follower of Jesus. You have rights to God's name. And Paul says next that you also have rights to God's power. Woo, I need you to get this, church. You have access. You have rights to God's power. You have rights to Holy Spirit power to help you live the life you were called to live. And I just felt like God, Mother's Day, that God wanted to encourage someone who's been struggling and stressing out because you've been trying to do things with your own strength. You've been trying to be a mom or a dad or a brother or a sister or a son or a daughter or a businessman or businesswoman. The list could keep going on and on. You've been trying to live your life based on your own strength and your own experience and your decades maybe walking with Jesus. And God is looking at you today saying, don't worry about your own strength any longer. You were never meant to live life on your own. You now have access to Holy Spirit power. You don't just have to survive. You can actually thrive, not because of you or what you know about the Bible or the Lord, but because Holy Spirit power is activated in your life. So if you're struggling today, you don't have to struggle any longer. Like, Paul prays this for you and I. I pray that God will strengthen you with your experience. No, he didn't say that. Paul says, you know what? I pray that you will be strengthened with how much you know about the Bible. No. He says, I pray that you'll be strengthened with God's power. That God's power at work in you first and then through you next, that would be a game changer, that you would tap in to the almighty power of God. And I love that word power. Some of you know this, but in the Greek, in the New Testament, almost always and definitely here, when you see that word power, it's the word dunamis. in the original language, you know what that word is? Like that, this is so cool. That word is actually how we get our English word for dynamite. So that's the kind of power that the Holy Spirit wants to give you access to. That you would have dynamite power to be the parent, to be the person, to be that person that's following Jesus, that's living in victory. And so today and tomorrow and the next day, you can pray and ask God for his power. Well, Pastor, you don't know my background. You don't know what I've been through. Are you following Jesus? And if so, you have the right to ask him for his power. Well, should I? Should I not? Yes. He ain't mad about it. He wants you to ask him for his power, and he is faithful to give it to you. Why? Because you have rights. Stop acting like you don't have rights. Stop acting like you got to beg God for everything. If it's in his word and he says it's yours, it is yours in Jesus' name. You have the right to ask him for power. You see, we need more Christians to understand, especially here in America, to understand their rights, and also, I love this word, the authority that they have in Christ. Like you got some authority on your life if you're following, rolling with Jesus. And when you understand your authority and who you represent and whose you are, you walk different and you act different no matter where you are. For example, it's like this with our U.S. passports. Many of you know this, that my wife and I were celebrating 10 years, and we're going to go on an anniversary cruise, sans kids, without kids, okay? We love our kids, but praise God for some time away from our kids, okay? And I can say that they're not in here, but we love them so much, but there's going to be some good times we're going to have together. And so we had to make sure my wife and I that our U.S. passports were up to date, and we've had them for a long time. We needed them for mission trips and things like that in the past, and so we need to make sure they were good. And I want you to think about a U.S. passport. You know this, but wherever you go in the world, if you have your U.S. passport, whether it's a foreign land or whether it's a dangerous place, that if anyone was to try to mess with you or to seize you or to do something to you, what would you do? You would show them that you are a U.S. citizen by showing them your U.S. passport. And that lets them know a couple of things. Number one, it lets them know who you are. You got your picture in there, right? You got your name and where you live. But even greater than that, it lets them know whose you are. That when you go to different countries and you're doing different things, even in dangerous places, you really don't just come by yourself. You are actually backed by the U.S. government. Not only that, but wherever you go and whatever's happening, you're backed by the U.S. government, yes, but you're also backed by the U.S. military. And we could talk all we want about all these foreign powers, everything, but ain't nobody roll like our military. Can I get an amen from somebody? And so if anybody was to mess with you, when you show your passports, they now understand you don't just come by yourself, that there's an authority upon your life, and it's not just you, it's a whole bunch of men. And do you see where I'm going here? And how much greater is it as a citizen of heaven, as a follower of Jesus? I don't know what your diagnosis was. I don't care what that person has said about you. It could be a lie straight from the pit of hell. I don't even care if the devil comes after you, just lasered in on you. You let him know and see your holy passport, because you don't just come in your own authority. Y'all with me, Christ Covenant? You got armies of angels, all of heaven, that is rolling with you because you're rolling with Jesus. There's an authority upon you. You have rights. Stop walking around feeble, scared of your own shadow. Like, oh, I don't know, Pastor. You know, I don't. Everybody's out to get me, and I can just no. Like, stop. You have an. I'm not talking about arrogance. You're just letting people know. In fact, some of you got to remind yourself of who is in you. The one who is greater is in you, and he is way greater than anyone or anything else in the world. And so I know the diagnosis isn't good, and I know what's going on in your body or with your health or at your job. It's not great, and I get all of that. but you need to understand the authority and the power that you have. Jesus' name is on your life, and even if the devil himself tried to mess with you, you'd have King Jesus and all the resources of heaven backing you. And remember, when you understand your authority, when you tap into the power that God has for you, you're going to start walking differently. You're going to start talking differently. You're going to start acting different. No matter where you are and no matter what's going on, you have rights as a citizen of heaven. Is this encouraging anybody this morning? Okay, you're like, I know it's Mother's Day, but let's keep going. All right, here we go. All right, here's what else. Paul was praying for the church, praying for Ephesians and also praying for us. He prays that they would know their responsibilities. So we got rights, but we also have responsibilities as followers of Jesus. Paul the Apostle, he says that we should be rooted in love. I'm going to get to that in a second. That we should glorify God, and that we should pass it down through generations. You could say this way, we should be loyal to the future. That we should make sure the next generation keeps glorifying God, keeps praising God. Like there's a responsibility on our lives, and it is heavy, very, very heavy. So here's the question this Mother's Day. I'm hoping that you'll ask the Holy Spirit. Like this, I'm hoping, I'm praying. Obviously, it's not some little cookie cutter, oh, you know, like little message, and then you go get brunch. Like I want to get in your face a little bit because I need you to understand your rights and also your responsibilities. So here's the question that I want you to ask the Holy Spirit today and to be honest with him and allow him to be honest with you. Here's the question. Are you just enjoying your rights, or are you also fulfilling your responsibilities? Because we love the rights. We love the access. We love the VIP treatment. We love being front at the line. We love the fast pass at Disney World, you know, like, oh, all you suckers didn't pay extra for it. Okay, here I go. Like, we love all the rights, all the access, but oftentimes we aren't very accountable with our calling. And so we've got to make sure we enjoy the rights, but also we fulfill the responsibilities. Like, here's what I mean. Here's an example. Sometimes what God asks us to do, all the things listed here and even more, sometimes what he asks us to do and also say, it gets lost in translation. Don't point fingers at anybody, okay? But like sometimes it does. In fact, it made me think about this, but every once in a while, when I'm at a Spanish-speaking church or even going on a missions trip and I've got a, you know, my English to be translated to Spanish, porque no hablo español, you know? And so I worked on that so hard, y'all don't even know. My wife is fluent in Spanish, and she tells me that you know, when I speak Spanish, I sound French. I don't even know how that, like, works, but... And y'all know me, I could barely speak English sometimes, too, so I'll be... Y'all laugh too hard on that, but anyways... But I'll be on a mission trip, or I'll be speaking at a Spanish-speaking church, and so I need to be interpreted. See, you preach, and by the way, like, they're not doing it today. I don't, actually, maybe they are doing it today in second service, but we have a Spanish translation team that they're in another room, and they translate me live. Like, there ain't no gaps. How many of y'all know I breathe, like, three times during every message? But normally, that's not the flow. Normally, you say a little bit, and then you take some time, right? But we didn't want to do it that way because we didn't want you to be here twice as long. Can I get an amen for somebody? And so, but like, can I say amen to that? Yeah, you can. It's cool. But I'll be in those environments. And so y'all know me. I shout, and I'm going at it. And they don't even know me. They're like, maybe I shouldn't know this guy. He's a little too intense. And so I'm preaching. And then I got to take a pause. And when I do that, The translator will say something, and they're supposed to be translating what I'm saying, but it's happened to me before where I'm like real serious, real focused, and then they say something, and everybody starts laughing. And I'm like, are you preaching the same message that I'm preaching? You know, like this gringo over here, you know, I don't know what he's saying. Sometimes things can be lost in translation. And here's what I felt like God wanted to speak to you and I. Is that so often... Like, what's the big prayer here? If you had to sum up everything Paul prays, it's love, right? That's what he spends the most time on. And not just like we would love people out of nothing, that we would understand and grasp how wide, long, deep, right? Y'all remember reading that? the love of Christ. And then out of that love, in fact, he says this, you will never understand or experience the fullness of God without fully embracing the love of God. It's a big deal. And I just feel like sometimes, like, as God is trying to love and to heal and offer hope to a broken world, I think sometimes that gets lost in translation through his kids, through us. Y'all know Christians like this, and again, don't point any fingers, but they are known more for their hate instead of their love. And they'll commit their life to boycotting and picketing. You do all that stuff you want. Like that's. But more than that, I'd rather sell out my life for who I love. That's Jesus. And out of that overflow of love, we should love other people. Doesn't mean we say, hey, just do your own thing. Whatever you think is not, I'm not saying that. Y'all know me good enough if you've been here more than 1 week. Like, truth is absolute. It's not real. I'm not saying anything like that. Here's what I am saying. Is that if somebody doesn't know how much you love them, they could care less what you had to say to them. And we've got this, and really it's a bad rep here in America that Christians were known so much for what we're against. Can we not just shift focus and perspective and be known more for what we love, who we love, how we live? That we would fully grasp, God, you love me so much. I'm a sinner. I made so many mistakes. I tell you all the time, if you're perfect, this is not the church for you. like you could do way better. Like I got issues. You're like, yes, you do. I got issues. You got issues, whether you admit it or not. Like, this is not for perfect. Jesus is the perfect one. And so when we truly grasp how much he loves us, then we can't help but love other people. So I want to challenge you, and really I want to commission you. That's what this series has been about. To be known more for your love of Jesus and your love of his people than what you're against. Be against evil. Of course, we absolutely should be. But we got to stop expecting people who don't follow Jesus to live like they follow Jesus. You're set up real easy for a frustrating life. The better thing is to love them so much that they want to hear about what you believe, and then they start to follow Jesus, and then there can be some standards put in place. Y'all with me? This is our calling. And so Paul prays all these very, very important things. I need you to know your rights. You got to get this. But you also need to be accountable for your responsibilities. There's a calling. There's a purpose. You were not destined just to suck air and die, okay? It's not just go to work, make some money, pay the bills, binge watch a show on Netflix, and repeat the cycle. Your life was meant for more. You are a citizen of heaven. Houston's great, but heaven's better, and we're not there yet. So while we're still here in Houston, let's bring a little piece of heaven down to earth. Let's live in such an eternal way that it's not about me, myself, and I, but I want to do whatever I can, not to build my little kingdom, but God's kingdom more and more here on this earth. This is our responsibility. Paul prays, you got rights, you got responsibilities, and then you turn the page. Ephesians 3 ends at verse 21, I believe. Turn the page. Somebody shout, turn the page. Come on, somebody shout, turn the page. You're like, well, it's actually on my same page, the way that my Bible works. That's cool. Y'all funny. I can see it. But when you move to a new chapter, Ephesians chapter 4, Paul, he puts legs to his prayer. He's like, hey, this is what I'm praying for. This is what I want for you. And remember, he's being anointed by the Holy Spirit. He's like, hey, this is what I'm praying, but here's the next step. And so I want to read this, just the beginning of chapter 4, and I'm going to read it over you. So what that means is I don't need you to overanalyze it. You can preach a message about it later, okay? You can study it, you know, in the Greek later. But this morning, I want to end this service this way, where I read Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 over you. So you know what Paul was praying, even for us today, all the way back then, what he's praying. Ephesians 4 is kind of our marching orders. I'm going to read it out of the Message paraphrase. It's not a translation because it's not word for word or phrase for phrase. Really, it's kind of like thought for thought. it's a great paraphrase because it puts it in our language. But the message says this, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And it'll be on the screen, but I want to read it over you and then we'll pray. Here's what Paul says, being led by the Holy Spirit. In light of all this, here's what I want you to do. Some marching orders. What next? Here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run on the road God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits, not in starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love. There's that focus again. But steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love. Alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. This is our calling. This is our commission, that we would love people outside the church, and you better believe inside the church in such a way that reflects the love of God, to be rooted in love. Bow your heads with me, close your eyes. Jesus, thank you for this epic prayer from the Apostle Paul. It helped the Ephesians, the church there at Ephesus, 2,000 years ago, and it's gonna help us at Christ Covenant today. And so I pray, God, that we would understand our rights as believers and followers of you, that your name is on us, that you want to activate your Holy Spirit power in our lives, that we have authority, that even in dark days, even in dangerous places, even when we get bad diagnosis, Lord, you are with us, and your authority has been placed on us. We don't just have to stumble through our lives, but even in the middle of dark days, we can have our head lifted high, not out of arrogance or cockiness, but out of confidence in you, the one who is greater that lives in us. But I pray, God, also for those, and I just feel like there's so many in America, God, it just hurts my heart. We've shifted. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? Love the access, but there's so many in America, God, that we're not accountable for our calling. So I pray, God, that we would not just enjoy the rights, but we would fulfill the responsibility. That, God, you've got a calling and you've got a purpose, that we would be rooted in love. Not defined by hate, but rooted in love. That we would glorify you, that we'd pass it down throughout generations. The generation will not know about you, Jesus, unless someone tells them. And the calling and the way that you've set it up is that one generation would pass it down to the next and then to the next and then to the next. We have a heavy responsibility. And so I pray even now, God, that you would give us confidence and boldness to ask you this question. Am I just enjoying the rights, or am I not enjoying my rights but also fulfilling my responsibilities? It's both. And I pray, God, if we're not fulfilling our responsibilities, that you would make it clear how we do that and what that looks like in the day-to-day. Not just some kind of like, oh, that would be great one day, but today. And I pray, God, as you say in Ephesians 4, that you'd help us to run with it, to not grow weary in doing good, but to run the race, to fulfill the calling, to walk worthy, to point people to you in the way that we live, to love people outside the church but also inside the church with the same kind of love that you've offered to us. And I pray lastly, every head bowed, please. Pray lastly for anybody underneath the sound of my voice that's far from you. I pray, God, that today would be their day of salvation. The truth is, they don't get the rights unless they've submitted their life to you. Jesus, you paid a high price so that we could be forgiven and that also we could enjoy the rights. And so I pray for anybody in the room or online that's far from you, I pray today they would bow their knee to you make you their personal Lord and Savior. It ain't about a religion. It's not about myself, this pastor. It ain't about this church. It's about you, Jesus. I pray this would be their moment. And so if you want to do that, almost every single week we have at least one. But if you want to bow your knee to Jesus to make him your personal Lord and Savior, I'm not saying you got to know every answer to every question. I'm saying that you say, Jesus, I give you my life. I surrender all. I'm going to go on a journey with you. I'm going to put my faith in you. If you want to make that commitment to the Lord, you can do that right now in this room. Here's how you do it. You can whisper to Jesus. Not a big scene, but just you and the Lord. You whisper this to him. Jesus, I believe that you are God. I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you rose from the dead. And so I ask you, it's the most important question you could ever ask anyone. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin, to clean me up from the inside out. I surrender all. Whisper this to him. I give you my past. I give you my present. And I absolutely give you my future. Jesus, thank you for those that are surrendering their life to you. I pray you'd encourage them in this moment, that you hear their prayer, you know their heart, and that you are saving them. Not only that, may you encourage them with this powerful truth, that as they surrender their life to you, it is not the finish line of faith, it is the starting line. And you've got more, so much more, than we could ask or imagine, that you want to do in them and through them. You are a God who is able. Thank you, God, for what you've done today. We love you, Jesus. In your mighty name we pray, amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.